body cameras worn by police officers have become the norm in most major American cities, with supporters of the technology saying it helps ensure transparency and accountability. But a new study is casting doubt on just how effective body cameras are.
The year-long study followed the effects of body cameras in the Washington, D.C. Police Department and found no change in the use of force by officers or in complaints for citizens. The results have some questioning whether camera programs are worth the cost. Meanwhile, Wisconsin lawmakers are considering a bill that would limit public access to footage from these cameras.
Harlan Yu is a technologist at Upturn, a Washington, D.C.-based group studying the impact of technology on law, policy, and social justice issues. Harlan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, first off, can you give us a sense of how this study in D.C. worked? How was it structured, and what was it trying to track?
Sure. Yeah, this was the most important empirical study on the impact of police body-worn cameras to date. You know, D.C. is the fifth largest police department in the country, and it was a randomized controlled trial with a large sample size using rigorous methodology. And so the D.C. police deserves a lot of credit for having the foresight to perform such a large-scale study as they were starting to deploy their cameras. The reason why they did this study is because, you know, we all have a lot of intuitions about what benefits body-worn cameras may or may not bring. But there really wasn't very much research literature or actual proof that, you know, body-worn cameras would actually bring accountability or, you know, decrease use of force or misconduct complaints. And so the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department, together with the lab at D.C., which is the city's in-house social science research team, did a two-year-long study basically looking at whether officers who wore body-worn cameras actually behaved any differently than officers that didn't. And they just came out with the results a couple weeks ago that had some surprising results, that cameras didn't decrease use of force, and they didn't decrease the number of misconduct complaints, and didn't really change officer behavior overall. So I think that raises a number of questions about, you know, what purpose do body-worn cameras serve in, you know, with the high cost of body-worn cameras, you know, what the public is actually getting for its money.
Was this a surprise, the results that you just outlined? I think that a lot of us on the face of it would assume that if you're being watched, you will comport yourself differently. That didn't turn out to be the case. So is this maybe a game changer?
Yeah, I think it depends on what your priors are. I mean, I think at least in the public discourse, there are a lot of assumptions about what benefits body-worn cameras can bring. I know with, you know, the communities I work with who are relatively skeptical of police or very skeptical of the police, they've never seen body-worn cameras as a feasible solution. And part of the reason why is because, you know, these are operated, cameras are operated by officers and the footage is ultimately owned by the police department. And so I think that raises a number of policy questions that we can discuss here, which is, you know, what policies are departments actually putting into place, such as, you know, when officers are forced to turn on their cameras or when they're allowed to turn them off, when the department does have footage of, say, a fatal police shooting, what are the requirements on the department to actually release that to the public so the community can actually see what's going on? And, you know, in the studies that Upturn has done together with the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, where we've looked at the body-worn camera policies across the United States in 50 major police departments, the policies that have been put into place have largely favored the interests of officers and the departments themselves and not the interests of the public, especially on transparency and accountability. So I think, again, that raises the question, you know, who are body-worn cameras for and whose interest will they favor?
Looking again at the results, the validity of the results from Washington, D.C., you said the study was structured in a very thorough way and it was randomized. It was a big sample size. All of that is good when we're looking at the importance of the results. But is there anything about that police force in general that could change the way we view the results? For instance, the D.C. chief of police said that we're already doing the right thing and maybe that's why the cameras didn't make a difference.
Yeah, I've heard people say that. And I think it is true that, you know, the D.C. police since 2001 went through a DOJ process, a memorandum of agreement, where they did turn over and improve much of their internal processes. I mean, certainly not a perfect department by any means, but they have improved and a lot of their training and processes have gotten better. And so people have been asking, you know, how generalizable are these results in D.C. to other places across the country, in Milwaukee and in Madison and other places. And I think we don't know, right? I think this is one of the first major studies of this size that have been as rigorous as this. I think there are reasons to think that D.C. has many of the similar problems in policing and community police relations that we see across the country. But I think it's also important to think about, you know, if it is the case that in D.C. we just have a much better department here than in other places, what are the things that actually have worked over the last 15 years here in D.C. that have improved the department? And why aren't we investing in those kinds of different and more meaningful remedies in other places, rather than kind of reflexively turning to body-worn cameras as a silver bullet that will solve all our problems? I mean, there are things that police departments around the country should probably be doing: better de-escalation training, better training to deal with mental health crisis, having stronger and more independent civilian oversight groups, right? Structural reforms that can actually improve police departments, rather than thinking that police body-worn cameras are going to solve all our problems.
We're talking with Harlan Yu right now, a technologist at Upturn, a group that's studying the impact of technology on law and social justice issues. And we're looking at the effect of body cameras worn by police officers. After a study in D.C., the police department there found the cameras didn't change behavior. And Harlan, based on these results, if a community out there is looking for hard data about whether body cameras work and they see this, is this study enough to convince people that maybe they should look at some other things instead of body cameras?
I certainly think that other different and more meaningful remedies and different investments with our taxpayer dollars is worth debate. I think it's important to remember that, you know, body-worn cameras were originally introduced in response to high-profile police fatal shootings across the country. And they were supposed to increase transparency and accountability with the ultimate goal of reducing police violence. And so I think it's worth thinking, over the past, 2 years, as departments across the country have rushed toward body-worn cameras, you know, how many cases can we actually think of where an officer was actually held accountable, either fired or prosecuted and then convicted because of body-worn camera evidence? I can't think of that many, maybe just a handful. And I think it's also important to keep in mind that, you know, most of the high-profile incidents that have made the national headlines over the past few years were the result not of police body-worn cameras, but of bystander cell phone footage, right? We remember the names of, you know, Eric Garner in Staten Island and Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Walter Scott in North Charleston, and Seville Smith, you know, in Milwaukee. So that one was body-worn camera video. But in all the other cases, you know, these were bystander and other public surveillance footage that has shed light and transparency on officers' actions, not because of body-worn camera footage.
Now, with that in mind, there's a bill in the Wisconsin legislature that's going to be voted on this month that would prohibit police from releasing footage taken in a place with a reasonable expectation of privacy, and it would require permission from property owners, victims, before it could be released. And taking that big question that you had in mind, Who are body cameras for? When you look at a bill like that, how do you start to answer that question?
So across the country, there's, you know, in most major police departments, there's no easy way for the public to obtain body-worn camera footage, even after, perhaps especially after high-profile use of force incidents where officers are seen, using force excessively. And we've seen similar laws like the one being proposed in the Wisconsin Assembly right now across the country that have attempted to lock down footage. And so because of that, you know, I think a lot of people assume that just because there's footage that it's going to hold the police accountable, or at least we're going to see that footage. But in case after case across the U.S., police departments have fought tooth and nail to withhold this important footage from the public. So, you know, for example, in Texas, there's a state law that prohibits all departments in the state from releasing any footage that documents a deadly force incident until the conclusion of all criminal and administrative proceedings, which means that, you know, the public might not get access to that footage for months or even years. Even worse, departments in California, because of the way that the state public access law is structured, departments in California routinely withhold all footage from the public by categorically invoking the investigatory records exemption to the state's FOIA law. And so these kinds of structural barriers, legal barriers, make it really difficult for us to say that body-worn cameras in a lot of places are actually increasing transparency. And even absent such legal restrictions, departments across the country in their own policies have reserved broad discretion to decide when and whether to release footage, which has allowed, for example, and we saw this in Las Vegas after the mass shooting there, that the department would simply cherry pick valiant footage for swift public release. But when there are incidents that show Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department's, fatally shooting or using excessive force, the department would prefer to bury that controversial footage.
Harlan Yu stays with us. He's a technologist at Upturn, a group studying the impact of technology on law and social justice issues. We're looking now at the effect of body cameras worn by police officers, looking at the results of a study by Washington, D.C.'s police department that found the cameras didn't make a difference when it comes to officer behavior.
You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. Do you think body cameras for police officers are a worthwhile investment? How would you like to see them used, regulated, and how transparent do you want to see them? How much access should the public have to this kind of footage? Call 800-642-1234, post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or email ideas@WPR.org.
And we'll continue our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Harlan Yu, a technologist at Upturn, a group that studies the relationship between new technologies and social justice issues, talking about body cameras in policing after a study found the cameras worn by Washington, D.C. police officers had no effect on the use of force or on citizen complaints.
And we're taking your calls right now at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest about the effects of body-worn cameras on police work? Do you think body cameras are a good idea? Do you think they have the potential to keep police accountable? Or do you think the results may not be worth the cost? If you're in law enforcement yourself, how have you seen body cameras impact your work? If you've been interacting with a police officer wearing a body camera, you can tell us about that experience. Call us at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll go to our callers right now. We've got Cindy joining us in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, I'm all for these body cameras because I had an incident where I wanted to file a complaint against an officer, and without the footage from that camera, I probably would have ended up in jail because he threatened me and everything else. So I am all for these, and I think instead of restricting access to them, public access should be made more easily because we, the people, are paying for these cameras, and we should have access to them. And the police department works for us.
Cindy, thank you for that call. And Cindy's had firsthand experience. She sees it benefiting her in this example, in her interaction. There was the footage there to rely on. Is there other anecdotal evidence out there like that, Harlan?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with Cindy that, if you are the subject of footage, if you had an interaction with a police officer, that you should get be able to get access to your own footage. Departments across the country, only a handful of departments have such policies that give subjects of footage the ability to watch it. Here in Washington, D.C. and in Las Vegas, there are pretty good policies that are in place where, somebody like Cindy could fill out a form and schedule a time to walk into a district station and watch the footage. But in many places across the United States, major police departments, that's simply not possible. And so if body-worn cameras are being paid for by taxpayers and should benefit the public, that kind of practice needs to be widespread, and it currently isn't widespread right now.
Cindy, thanks a lot for that call. And we're going to go next to Val in Waukesha. Val, hi.
Hello. My question is, and you touched on this briefly before, but if police have learned that there are not going to be any repercussions for their activities, whether or not they're filmed, How is the study accounted for that?
Val, thank you for that. And Harlan?
So I think this is beyond what the study itself showed, right? The study looked at, whether there's a decrease in use of force or, the number of misconduct complaints. They didn't look specifically at, after fatal police shootings, just because there aren't that many of them, at least in D.C., how officers are held accountable. And so, but based on what, we've seen nationwide and, the incident that also comes to mind, I'm sure for most listeners is, the incident where the fatal police shooting of Seville Smith in Milwaukee in August 2016. The officer in that case, even though there was body-worn camera footage that showed the officer shooting Mr. Smith while he was already on the ground and attempting to surrender, finding that officer innocent, I think that, raises questions about, whether body-worn cameras can actually hold the police accountable, right? It's not simply, slapping these new technologies, these newfangled devices on officer uniforms. We really need to change, how we think about police work and changing structurally the way that, prosecutors do their work and the way that we hold our cops accountable in our judicial system.
Val, thank you so much for that call. Appreciate that. And Harlan, thanks to you as well. Glad you could be with us today.
It's great to be here.
That was Harlan Yu, a technologist at Upturn, talking with us about a study of body cameras in the Washington, D.C. Police Department that found no change in officer behavior or citizen complaints. And you can still share your thoughts and look at some of the research on body camera policies around the country by visiting the Central Time Facebook page.